Grace and peace to you this day from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We can certainly say, on the basis of accounts in the Holy Scriptures, that prayer can be very powerful. The people of Israel cried out to be free from slavery to the Egyptians. And God heard and answered their prayers. Keep in mind, this was not a short period of time. Moses prayed to get a glimpse of God's glory, and God gave it to him. Elijah prayed that God strike from heaven and consume a sacrifice Elijah had built, which was covered with water, as he had a showdown with the prophets of Baal or Baal, whichever you prefer. And God certainly came through and consumed that sacrifice with fire from heaven. Elisha prayed that God would blind and then open the eyes of the Syrian army that had come to get them. He asked God to protect him and his servant, and it was so. Hannah prayed that she would have a son. And she promised that she would give that son to the Lord. And she gave birth to Samuel, one of God's prophets. Jairus prayed that his daughter, who was at the point of death, would be healed. And Jesus healed her. Peter was in prison, his life in great danger, because King Herod had just killed the apostle James. And the church prayed that Peter would be rescued. And in a very short period, he was. While Christians can believe that God answered prayers in the Bible, many find it more difficult to believe that God will answer their prayers. We must not forget that we are God's people also. We have been purchased with a great price. The Son of God bled and died on the cross for our sins. We are deeply loved. We are members of Christ's church and His ambassadors at this time in history. Of course, God answers the prayers of His people today. Last Sunday, we had class number 6 in our Life with God series. And the title of that lesson was 5 Keys to a Strong Christian Life. Prayer is one of the 5 keys. How could anyone possibly have a strong Christian life when they are not talking to the one who gave them life in the first place and then paid for their sins? So as we are New Testament Christians, let us look at what the New Testament says about prayer. I chose as my key passage James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But know this. We are not righteous in or of ourselves. We are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of faith in Him. And furthermore, let us understand one more thing. When we talk about power, the power is not our own. The power is from the Holy Spirit working through the Word. The Holy Spirit who can direct things and change things. So we should pray. But how our prayers are going to be answered is, of course, up to God. We have to respect His sovereignty here. He is an all-knowing God, and He knows factors that relate to our request that we don't. His answer may be yes. His answer may be no. Or He may be silent and answer that prayer at a much later time. Now, we can't do much about God's thinking about our requests, except continue to repeat our prayers. But there is one thing we should look at closely this morning, and this may surprise you. We need to make sure that we are not the reason the prayer is not answered. And Pastor Derek Gelhart wrote a whole sermon on this subject. As a matter of fact, I read it. It's called Seven Barriers to Effective Prayer. I hadn't thought much about this before. I tinkered with it a bit, and I came up with six by combining two of them. But the following, in good part, is from his thoughts on the matter. Barrier number one, the Reverend mentioned, is when we make inappropriate requests. What would you think of a person praying to be rich? I would think not. I would say that's probably inappropriate, unless it has a very good Christian purpose behind the prayer. How about praying for a son or daughter about to be born to be a professional sports star? I would have to think that that goes a little beyond what God is expecting in prayer. It tends to be a sort of selfish request to gratify one's own desires. Barrier number two is prayerlessness. Have you ever had anyone come up and share with you the details of a terrible problem they are sharing? And you hear them out and you respond with, "Ah, that's terrible. I'll pray for you." Do you pray for them? I discovered a couple of times I forgot all about that. So when I open my mouth and I say things like that, I try and write it down now and take it seriously, praying for them. Or how about the one and done prayers? If one prayer is all the time we can invest in praying for someone else, on many occasions we can't be very concerned. Barrier number three is a big one, because the Bible addresses it a lot. Sin that is not confessed. We should never forget that we are praying to a holy and perfect God. And as Lutherans, I think we've been well taught that when we approach God in prayer, unless it's urgent to get the prayer out right away, it's very well and good for us to confess our sins and get on a proper footing with God before we start asking for things. Or let's say we haven't talked to God for 6 months and we have a big problem come up and there doesn't seem to be any way to solve it. Well, what does He think about us rushing to Him as our last option? God can do what God wants to do. Don't misunderstand. But sometimes it helps for us to think of things from God's perspective. And we are also told in the Holy Scriptures that cherishing sin in our heart, not dealing with what's wrong in our own lives, can lead to God not listening to our prayers. That has a very biblical basis. Barrier number four is unresolved conflicts with others. Something I went over recently in our Life with God class when we were discussing Holy Communion. I bet most of you know that Matthew 5 says that if you're leaving a gift for God at the altar, and you remember that somebody has something against you, you should go and be reconciled with that person before you leave that gift for God. This ties right in with the whole theme here. We should never forget the words of the Lord's Prayer. Quote, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us." Barrier number 5 is, do you pray but have an uncaring attitude about the matter? That can be a barrier. Is it really from the heart or just a vocal exercise? See, the command for us to love one another, Jesus said that, it's repeated over and over in the Bible. It doesn't just mean with words, but also with our deeds. Here's an example. You're praying for the hungry. Okay? That's wonderful. But if you have the means to help the hungry, and you never do anything about feeding the hungry, that would sort of indicate an uncaring attitude. Why should you be asking anyone else to do it if you're not willing to do it? And barrier number 6 is another big one, and that is doubt. James tells us that those of us who pray to God in a doubting manner are like ships being tossed about by the waves. And a person like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, I said should not expect. I did not say they would not, because God is God and He makes the final decision on whether our prayer is going to be answered. We have a good example of a powerful prayer in our epistle reading from Ephesians 3 today, and it helps to know the context of this, to see what makes a powerful prayer. Who's saying the prayer? Well, the Apostle Paul is. Where is he? He is in prison. What is he doing? He is thinking about others. He knows that the Ephesians have to be very concerned that their teacher is in jail and wondering if they're not next. Will they be arrested too? Some of them may possibly be thinking, maybe I should go back to my old time, former religion, would be a little more safe. So Paul prays to God for others. He prays to God to calm their worries and their fears. He prays that, quote, that they may have strength to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. In other words, the enormity, the greatness of God's love. Probably many of us go through a season of prayerlessness at some time. It may be due to one or more of the barriers we've mentioned today, but it can easily occur when things are going well, when you are being blessed and you're up on the mountaintop. That's great if you're up there. If your life is at a peak right now, don't forget how you got there. Don't forget to whom you owe your very life. Don't become complacent. Let us praise our God always. And remember that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective if it's asked with the right attitude and with the goal of bringing glory to God. Let me conclude with one last thought. I have no doubt that some people do not pray because they are not sure how to do so or what to talk about, so they don't pray often. I've had people tell me this. The disciples themselves asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and he, of course, responded by teaching them the Lord's Prayer. And that's a wonderful prayer. But most theologians probably consider that prayer to be a model that Jesus taught us, not a prayer that's meant to cover every single situation. So if you have trouble praying and you're not sure what to say, I would encourage you to try the ACTS method. ACTS, spelled A-C-T-S, the same as the book of the Bible, the book of Acts. Many of us, including myself, have used that for years. It's not the only model I use, but I feel God has worked through it. It's based on teachings in the Holy Scriptures also. Each letter in the word ACT should remind you of a possible petition in your prayer. A stands for adoration. What's adoration? I thank you, Lord, for giving me life. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the parents that you gave me. There's all so many ways in which we can adore and praise God. C stands for confession. T for thanks. And the S stands for supplication or praying for others. The concept of acts helps keep us focused, and it can help form a framework for a powerful prayer. And I would add to that for your personal prayer time, I would recommend that you not have a helter-skelter type prayer style, although that's far better than nothing. I would recommend that at the very least you have a regular time each day when you pray to the Lord, that you find a private place. And many of us believe when we're alone and doing personal prayer and praying out loud, because one's mind can drift off during prayer. And if you follow these suggestions, expect to be blessed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for life and salvation and the many blessings you shower on us. We confess that we often come up short and give in to sinful ways too many times. Thank you for your love and your patience and the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Be our guide and our strength as we travel on toward a better place and a better life that you have in store for us. And help us to share the good news about Jesus that others may come to know the way also. In the name of him who died, that we might live forever. Amen.